Have your Bibles, you'll turn back to that passage of Scripture which we read, the 16th chapter of John. I'd like to read verses 8 and 9. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, "When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me." We've sensed your presence here this morning, Father, but in a very special way now, we pray that you will illuminate your word to each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I call this sermon the opposite of faith because I want to highlight the sin of unbelief this morning. Faith is not a luxury to Christians. Somehow, when we think of faith, we go to that definition in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We tend to think of faith as something which we can take or leave. Faith is for super Christians. Somehow we hear somebody get on a radio or TV and say, "Now this is a faith ministry." But faith is not something which we can take or leave. But faith is the very essence of our relationship with God. I'm talking about Galatians 2:20 type faith. "The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, by faith in Jesus Christ, by his faith in me." And when we fail to live by faith, when we live as though God's word is something less than true and vital, we don't just live beneath our privileges, we live in sin. And these words of Jesus speak to the heart of just how sapping, how destroying the sin of unbelief is. The Holy Spirit strikes at the very heart of sin when he strikes at unbelief. Verse 9 says, "When he comes, he will convict the world of sin in regard to sin, because men do not believe." When we begin to think about sin and the sinfulness of sin and the terrible condition mankind is in, it would seem that other more flagrant sins might qualify as the basic sin, the root sin. We might say hatred would be a good candidate for the root sin of our society. And certainly greed would be a leading candidate. Greed, really, to me, is the reason why we have pornography, and greed is why people push alcohol to alcoholics. Lust is certainly a prevalent sin of our society. Certainly we'd have a better world if we could stamp out murder and we could stamp out these flagrant sins. The fact of the matter is, when Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come to convict the world, he said, basically, striking at the heart of sin, he will convict of sin, the world of sin, because it does not believe. Today we're faced with the specter of a society that talks about conscience and talks about justice, talks about morality, as though it can be separated from faith in God. But a society and a culture that ignores Almighty God is a sick society. The thing that frightens me the most about our society is not that it says God is good or God is bad, but just says God isn't important. The average person in the street doesn't give God any thought at all. You say, we need to address ourselves to the injustice of our day, and I agree. But the Holy Spirit would tell us that at the very root of all of these sins is the statement, God is not important. God is a liar. The oldest question in the Bible is very relevant for today. The third chapter of Genesis, first or second verse there, where Satan approaches our first parents and says, yea, hath God said? Did God really say anything? Unbelief says God is a liar. Unbelief says that personal sin will not be punished. It doesn't matter how I live, the problem is the sin of society. Unbelief says that if there is a God, he's unfair, or he's weak, or he's both unfair and weak. But I want to say this morning that unbelief, now what would distinguish between unbelief and doubt, honest doubt, all of us go through periods when really we don't know which way's up. And if you're in a period when you say, well, I just don't know, well, doubt is the father of faith. But unbelief, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of the sin of unbelief, it's not I can't believe, but it's I won't believe. I refuse. It says I'll be the exception. I can get away with living apart from faith. I can be a good, straight, moral person. I can make a contribution to this world. I can choose what is right and what is wrong. God's just not that important. Jesus Christ is the key to the Scriptures. The Bible tells us of the love of God until it climaxes in that great golden text of the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible tells us about the justice of God and how while God loves each of us who have sinned against him and are prodigal, still on Calvary, we see how God cannot abide sin, cannot just kiss it away. Jesus paid the supreme penalty. We see in the Bible the redemption of God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes and makes all these things personal. We can know about what the Bible says, and we can believe that Jesus is the key, and we can see that God loves and that God hates sin. But Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes to our hearts, he won't let us get away from the fact that God doesn't just love the world, but God loves you. God loves me. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He's at work this morning. Not only that God is a just God and hates sin and would let Jesus Christ die on the cross, the mystery of Calvary, speaking to us of how God just can't kiss away sin. But the Holy Spirit comes to each of our hearts and says, God hates your sin. He loves you. He loves you very much. But your personal sin is rebellion against God. So I can't just get away from it by saying, oh, that doesn't make much difference. The Holy Spirit comes and says, Christ died for me. What a heartbreaking thing it is. In the sense of our heart being no longer able to resist. When we realize that God didn't just redeem the world to himself through the death of Christ, but Christ on the cross loves you, cares for you. And so I can't just intellectualize my faith or my lack of faith. I can't just say unbelief is not very much. But when the Holy Spirit strikes to the heart of sin, we see our faith or our unbelief as how we open or how we shut our heart to the person of Jesus Christ himself. When the Spirit convicts of sin, he convicts in a twofold way, depending upon where we are. It said he will convict the world of sin. The Holy Spirit comes to challenge unbelief in actions. Men act as though God were a liar. Yea, hath God said. Until the Ten Commandments have become the Ten Suggestions. And there really isn't any absolute truth anymore. We act as though God did not exist. I can lie. I can cheat. I can live. I can talk in an immoral way. Men rebel against a loving, holy Savior. And when they'll hold still long enough, when they will listen, the Holy Spirit will convict them of actions which stem out of unbelief. I'm concerned about that. But I'm not as concerned as I am about this next thing I'm going to say this morning. For Christians don't always live in actions of unbelief. But the Holy Spirit also convicts Christians of the spirit of unbelief. Maybe we're not living in outbroken sin. But there is that within the unsurrendered heart which makes it difficult to obey. Somehow we have a resonance there to that question of Satan. Yea, hath God said, does it really apply to me? There's that within the heart which finds every reason to avoid giving oneself wholly to God. There's that within the unsurrendered heart which makes every decision regarding God's will a struggle. Acts of unbelief spring out of this tendency to unbelief. And I believe with all my heart that this is the heart of what our doctrine of holiness is, that this tendency to unbelief, this unwillingness to take God simply at his word, it can be dealt with in the crisis of full surrender and the infilling of power by the Spirit who comes to guide us into all truth, just down into the next paragraph there. Until Jesus could say, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll convict the world, but he will guide you into all truth. The difference between the world and the church, and the difference between the Holy Spirit convicting of acts of rebellion, is this surrendered heart. So I've been speaking this morning. Perhaps the Holy Spirit has applied truth in a way that I don't even know. I trust he's been making it personal to your heart. But I want to close by saying this morning that when the Holy Spirit comes and brings conviction, it's always with the idea of hope. The Holy Spirit is not mocked. God is not mocked. But neither does the Holy Spirit mock us. God does not mock you. When the devil accuses, when the adversary would, quote, convict, there's always the note of despair. What's the use of going on? You're not where you ought to be. You're doomed. You may as well give up. What's the use? But the Holy Spirit is Christ-like. He's the Spirit of Jesus himself. He said, it's expedient that I go away. Why? Because I'm here in the flesh, localized. If I go away, I'll come back to you. You won't see me anymore. And then after a little while, you will see me. You'll know me. And Jesus personally addresses each one of us this morning in detail according to our need. And he does it in such a way that we can be not cast down or destroyed. But the Holy Spirit attacks unbelief and sin and defeats it at its point of contact with believers. Let's look at the nature of unbelief. Jesus said in that parable of the soils that if unbelief can do it, it will prevent the word from ever taking root in our hearts. It will block the entry of faith. Say, I can't believe. Remember, The essence of unbelief is not I can't, it's I won't. And if faith gets started, according to Jesus' parable of the soils, the nature of unbelief is to choke off growth or prevent depth if it can. Then if it can't do that, it will prevent fruition. It'll say, well, it's all right to be alive, but just don't really go all out for God. Don't let the fruit of the Spirit become really vital and vibrant in your life. But the Holy Spirit breaks the endless cycle of frustration. And he says, if you'll confess your sin of unbelief, the seed of faith will find entry in your heart. You've been having an intellectual, quote, intellectual struggle, I can't believe. If you'll call it by its right name and say, I am not willing to submit to the Lordship of Christ, and I confess my sin, the Holy Spirit will break that cycle and life will spring up in your heart. You say, well, I've been saved and I know I have life, but really I haven't been able to find any depth. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, or my desire for riches, have choked off much of my strength. We have ways of rationalizing this too. Let me tell you, if we'll call it by its name, a failure to really put into principle Jesus' word and say, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. Pray the prayer of the man who said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Jesus will weed out the concerns and the cares until life can spring up. If we'll confess the sin of unbelief, even those of us that may be well along toward maturity, I believe that Jesus can make drudgery become fulfillment. The faith walk can bloom in our lives. God doesn't want us to be defeated, cast down, but his will for each of us is that we be bearing fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Faith can become a door. Faith can become a way of growth. Faith can become joy. Faith can become victory. I'd like for us to close this morning by turning back to number 266, that hymn to the Holy Spirit. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth.